Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invite you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Imam Wali Ayub Bilal, the Halal Industry Do For Self. As always, I like to begin with Allah's name, the Merciful Benefactor, the Merciful Redeemer. We thank Allah for this opportunity to speak with those who are on board with us today, whether we hear it today or whether someone hears it years from now. You know, when we look at our life, I'd like to approach this discussion a different way today. Maybe we can say or hear something, or you may call in and comment, knowing that if you have something to say, a question, a statement, a suggestion, please touch the one on your phone and we'll recognize that, we'll bring you in. And if we don't see it, our beloved brother Imam Hameen or one of the others that are monitoring the board will see it, and they will let us know and let you come in to share with us what you want to say based on our conversation or something that you think we just need to know. In other words, when we're communicating, I'm honored to be the host today of Bilal's Inc., the Halal Industry. I'm honored. But at the same time, what good is the conversation if I can't listen to nobody else? I'm not talking about the co-host that's with me, Brother James Bashir, Brother Nate Muhammad. I'm talking about also those of you who are listening silently. Or maybe you just have the hearing thing off. You might be hollering in the background. But the bottom line is we don't hear you. But you may have something that you want to add that's very necessary to what we're talking about or what we can add to what we're talking about. So I'd like to approach the discussion today as I look at our people, how they look at other people. You know, we call people scholars. We call them sheikhs. That's nice. Now that we have colleges and universities and schools of all types, et cetera. But once upon a time, even Adam himself would have been looked at as a scholar or as a sheikh. He didn't have no school direct that he went to. His sons, his family, early family, they had to live through what they were living through and then pass the knowledge to those who came behind them. Today we're fortunate we have buildings to weather the storm, to give us the comfort of feeling like a class, et cetera, et cetera. And we recognize someone studying, someone learning, getting the experience of what is being taught could one day be called a professor, even a principal, a teacher, a scholar. And we listen to people just because somebody called them sheikh. What was the sheikh? In the old days, sheikh was that old person that was telling things from experience. So education has always been around. Let us not fool ourselves. And let us not think because we're not in a certain, setting, that we can't be those who have the insight, have the knowledge to take our community where we have to go. If we were not able to do that, do you think Allah would put us in the Quran? Shorabainahum. And what is Shorabainahum? Without an interpretation from someone from overseas, basically it means come together and listen to each other. And let there be input from even the least among us, not just the person that seems to be the highly respected. I walk in the room, I'm Imam Wali Ayyub Bilal. Okay, everybody gives me respect. Or another imam, give him respect. But shouldn't that respect also go the other way? Yes. Someone there haven't said nothing, might want to say something, open the floor. As we say with the mic, you have something to say. We might have touched something, or it might be something we need to touch. You're listening. So we're honored to have this gift that we can see something by you touching the one on your phone that you have a question, a statement, a suggestion, something to say, some input. So even in this small way of doing things by phone, radio, computer, et cetera, this way of connecting, we can hear more than one thought. We can add to the information that is there. Now, I said what I said about scholar, using the term scholar and sheikh, purposely. Do you know, when we look at our family's history, I'm talking about the African-American descendant of slaves. I'm not talking about anybody else, even though it fits them in their world somewhere along the line. But with us, we had a definite detour that was put in our human life by someone taking all of us as a people, our foreparents, we don't know the numbers, and brought them to America and made us a type slave that never was made before. Not one or two of us, all of us. I mean, some of the stories that they used to tell on TV might have been exaggerated a little bit. But it seemed to be true to life when we looked at how we were being treated, even in our time. Well, nobody going to whip us like they did back then. Not all of us anyway. They might have been able to catch one of us, a few of us, male or female, and might have been in big trouble, and we didn't even have a weapon. Beat the heck out of somebody. But look at that. Look at what we went through by Allah's permission. Don't blame the Caucasian. He had his hand, and he got to stop now. No question about that. But that was a design by Allah to bring us all as a people to what is today America. It wasn't America yet. It wasn't there yet. It was becoming, but it wasn't there. The name wasn't even set up for it. But look at the experience that Allah gives to us in what we've lived. We see our foreparents. We lived in a way that we couldn't do anything different than what we did, and that was be whooped, be told to be quiet, to be called names, to have the male, the head of the farm, the grounds that was kept by us day to day. We can have them if we had a wife or a daughter. They can come in on us and tell us, the man, the male, I should say, of the house, the male slave. Boy, go in on outside. And it didn't take much to imagine what they wanted to do to the female in the house. I'm not saying any of this for us to get angry. Look at how Allah has done us. In a way to make us see we can learn through the heat of the hour, so to speak. Some people, you mess them up today, they remember that every time they think about you, they're looking for you. They could have put you in the grave for doing whatever it was, but every time they think about you, they want you to come back up so they could do it again. But Allah had a special plan for us. And in that special plan was to get into the growth of Islam or growth through al-Islam. The teachers that we had, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Imam W.D. Muhammad, and the many ministers and imams that held the line, even the ones that can confuse the picture at some point, but the ones who held the line, there was an education, if we could see through it, that was telling us Allah favored us. And he's favored us in a way that he's taken us from one position, a position that really people can't just get out of that. You know, today they got it written in the papers that rule America, so to speak. Slavery is forbidden except by imprisonment. Or they could treat them like a slave if they're in prison. And it should be they can't treat them even like that. I mean, I think we all seen over the national news this past week how many people they let go because they were charged with murder that they didn't even do.
One guy, 50 years.
Yeah, 1 year. Had plenty of years. Yeah, half of a century. And in that, they echoed that the police department have to look at the way they're doing things because some of these things have been lies upon humans and messed up their life, messed up their family's life. And I remember early 2000s, I believe, and I was watching the TV, and it had showed the White House like a room Congress would sit in or the senators would sit in to make decisions. And it had one man walking around, whatever his office was, Congress or Senate. He was pacing the floor a little bit, but keep going back to a podium where he had his notes. And he was talking, I just happened to see it this day. He was talking about establishing new prisons all over the country.
Yeah, he'd been talking about that.
And he said, don't worry about how they're going to get filled. We're going to fill them. See, there they go again. that had already written it that no more slavery except through prison.
Mm-hmm.
So now someone was wise enough to look back and see, wait a minute, hold on, we put the way to make it right here. Establish prisons. Let's lock up some of these blacks. Not because they were criminals. We're going to put them in a place to be criminals. Not the prison. The treatment in this later hour of our lives, we're doing that. But you and I had something special working with us. I mean, at that time, I was a Muslim. But it might have been in the 1900s, you know what I mean, late 1900s, but it might have been early 2000 when this was happening. People designed the world that we're supposed to be in. No, let's do the one that Allah designed. Allah gave us a world that all of humanity could win in. Don't have to be about jealous about anybody. All of us, the male, the female, we can all play our parts. We can educate our children. We can build in our life. We can work from A to Z, whatever position we want to be in, whether the act starts with an A, auto mechanic or automation or whatever, to Z. You know what I mean? Hopefully that don't mean in somebody's mind I'm going to be a zero. They see themselves, I'm going to be a zero. Leave that out. But all of these things are there. And I'm speaking about this in this way today because I'm looking at how there are still plans being put before us to divide us, to keep us from seeing how to get to the top. I do believe, and I've been believing it for long time, that Allah is allowing us to be the mercy to humanity by being an example of what the Prophet, prayers and peace be upon him, have lived. Others, they try. I can't say that our brothers that was born over there and sisters that were born over there where the Prophet was born, they try. But it's something that's in them that makes them have a tight bias that they think they're better. I mean, I look at myself. I'm a person that, you know, I would tell people I'm a lollipop, like a sucker laced with a cyanide. Meaning, don't mess with me. I'm humble. I'm forgiving. I'll help you. Even if you made an error coming against me, if I could see that you took it back in a way to know that it was a mistake, I can forgive you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's most our people. That's not Caucasians or all Arabs don't do it. Some of them got that spirit. But too many of just want to be on the top. Allah has picked us in America to work together. Not just with ourselves, work with humanity, but we got to work with ourselves first. We got to believe in ourselves first. Islam doesn't make you weak, it makes you strong. Christianity could make you strong. So could Judaism. They can make you strong. But they're more occupied in wanting to be the best and frown down on everybody else. Wanting to say their way is the way and nobody else has a way. No, the only way, only entity that has a way that nobody can argue about is Allah. And it's clear in the Quran. We don't argue with the Jews and the Christians about we shouldn't, about religion. Allah says clearly he established the three faiths. And he gave us the completion. All we got to do is live it. And one of the ways of living is believing that Allah gives us something that we could build that no one else has ever built before. When we look at the Prophet's people, those who were close, they still couldn't hold their jealousies of Bilal, even with the Prophet standing right there, prayers and peace be upon him. Even with him standing there, this many years, now that was then when he was still walking on earth. This many years beyond, we find that they still got the ugly racial thing. I know when I went on Hajj and when I talked to other brothers and sisters when they go on Hajj. I noticed that they treated the Africans. This is not to start a fight. This is just them. They treated the Africans that look like us, brothers that's actually born in Africa, sisters actually born in them, in those areas. They treat them bad.
Real bad.
And when they looked at us, they wanted to treat us bad until they heard us speak English, and they said, I'm Ricky.
Yeah.
I'm Ricky, brother. Brother, you, I'm Ricky? Yeah, I'm American. Oh, please, brother, come, please. They rolled the carpet out to us. They want to worship one man and kill the other.
Mm-hmm.
And they look alike. The two, the African and the African-American, we look alike.
Written image.
But they put it right in our face while we're on Hajj. How you go to Hajj? How you walk around the Kaaba doing religious rites with that kind of bias? But they did it in the time of Muhammad the Prophet, prayers and peace be upon him. They would question Bilal right there in front of the Prophet. They would call him, oh, black Bilal. The Prophet didn't just correct him one time for that, many times. The Prophet even had to say in front of him one time, hey, Bilal, getting Bilal's attention. Bilal turned around to look at the Prophet and all of the believers that was there, all of the top believers were right there, and they looked. This is Hadith, but I believe this is true. They looked, and he said, how did you get in front of us? And everybody got their attention. They thought really they're talking about them walking down the road at that time. The Prophet went further. How is it that you got in front of us? I see your footsteps getting into paradise before we do. Now, the Prophet wasn't playing games, but he was making them understand that he was more natural at it. When he told Bilal to call the Adhan, call the people to prayer, didn't tell them the words. He told them, call them to prayer. And the Prophet Bilal even said at some point, well, you know, my Arabic is not good. He said, no, you have the best Arabic. Why? It's coming from his heart. I'm saying this because the African-American, he's unique.
Mm-hmm.
The descendant of slaves,
mm-hmm.
He's unique in the sense that through all that we've gone through,
mm-hmm.
Every other people would have been by now trying to wipe out the people that kept them slaves for so long.
Yeah, we took a licking and still ticking.
We still ticking. We fall in love with God.
That's right.
Wherever we go.
We don't have
as Christians, we did it.
That's right.
If we were to go among the Jews, we would have did it. And definitely, as Muslims, we do it. We see Allah's plan, and we're in that plan. And we see it, don't mistake what I'm saying to say people with different color skins or different nationality, they can't be lovers of God. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying in this day and time, the favor is on us. When Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, completed his work in Yatrich, today's Medina, and the message went to Persia, the blessing went to Persia also, for them to stand up and remind others how to serve God. When it left there and it went to what is today's Iraq and it went to other places around the world, as it spread across the earth, every people that it came to, the Prophet said it will come back to people just like it came to them. Poor, downtrodden people. Have we forgotten that we were poor and downtrodden? Matter of fact, ain't no people been as poor and as downtrodden as we have been here in America. And the white man might have used the ships to bring us here, but it was Allah that gave us a safe trip all the way across. It was Allah that was allowing us to live through the hardship of slavery. Allah was, again, making a man. So I'm saying that to say we have to look at what has Allah given us here in America to do. What is it that he's put before us? Many things. And these are the things that we have to look at. And when we look at it properly, we'll find it easy, we'll find easily that Allah has favored us to do this work today. We're going to take a PSA.
God's peace be upon you. God's love be upon you. God's compassion be upon you. The one soul of humanity. May we let it be in thought and in action. On behalf of CWSC, Intelligentsia, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected, American Muslim 360, the Speakers Bureau, the Model Community National Resource Directory, the Volunteer Human Resource Network, Scholarship, the Learning Lab, Ambassadors, National Leadership Advisory Council, Internship, Leadership Development Council, the Think Tank, Strategic Family Institute, the Bookstore. May we share completely humanity in spirit and in form, from thought to action. God's peace, God's love, God's compassion. Assalamu alaikum.
As I was talking, I didn't see it. This is Brother James Bashir. Before I read the verses from the Quran, I would like to take notice that someone has their hand raised, and we will recognize your hand as soon as we finish our PSAs. With that, I'll read from the Quran. Allah's name and mercy, benefactor and mercy, demon. And that is a sign for those who fear the penalty of the hereafter. That is a day for which mankind will be gathered together. That will be a day of testimony. Nor shall we delay it, but for a term appointed. The day it arrives, no soul shall speak except by his leaders. Of those gathered, some will be wretched and some will be blessed. Those who are wretched shall be in the fire. There will be for them therein nothing but the heaving of sighs and sobs. They will dwell therein for all the time that the heavens and the earth endure, except as thy Lord willeth. For thy Lord is the sure accomplisher of what he planneth. And those who are blessed shall be in the garden. They will dwell therein for all the time that the heavens and the earth endure, except as thy Lord willeth, a gift will break. Barakallahu alayhi. Join us every Wednesday from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for an edition of the Halal Industry Do For Self with your host, Imam Wali Ayu Bilal, President, Founder, and CEO of Bilal's Inc., and co-hosts James Bashir and Nate Muhammad. The interest of Bilal's Inc. is to establish economics for the African-American people, descendants of the slaves of America. This program is to encourage people to unite and to build economic strength, to establish community life by doing for self, to build the model community. Connect at am360.org and 24-hour streaming at 701-719-4197. Call in live to speak to the host at 515-605-9891 or 425-292-4253. Share comments at info@cwsc.us, tweet at CWSHURAA, email us at info@cwsc.us, visit am360.org, Pan Corporation, community-wide short conference at cwsc.us, or leave a listener comment at 910-317-0297.
Okay, we're going to open the mic before Nate Muhammad make his statement. We're going to open the mic for 727-408. Your mic is open. Speak if you like or whatever. Yes, sir. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam. Alhamdulillah. Thank Allah for... You, Brother Ayu Bilal, and Brother Nate, and Brother Bashir, and Alhamdulillah, for the fact that AM 60 is up and running, and praise be Allah.
Amen.
We're going to put out that money, get that money together, so we can keep things flowing. As responsible people who got something, and respect what we have, and working on it most, so praise be to Allah for that. There's something I wrote I'd like to share, Alhamdulillah. Standing up for your life. Choosing wrong over right. Heaven is a choice. It's your voice. a hell of a situation to be in. Do we need to repent and make amends? Tired of corruption and sin? Al-Islam, organic and natural, not store-bought. Coming more aware about its potentials. Thinking and action and acting rational. Shaitan said he was better able to serve God. Isn't that what we were taught? But we all being God and man's law. If it's our return, we must be praying without a concern. You can be done or learned. Bringing a real awakening to the intellect of man. Life and man. God will and plan for the man that is sane. Knowing from whence he came. Adam as industrialist. It wasn't first about the Holy Ghost. All good occupations can become a profitable and sustainable business. Excellent for God consciousness. People once one people, one human type. The Holy Ghost was the first. Adam was building an institution for community life. Make sure that we get that right. Adam in the Bible was the seed of his own righteousness, foolishness, keep our souls upset. So praise be to Allah, that alhamdulillah, we all the best. Man, Muhammad say, is what it is. He don't look at it as something that was paining us. He look at it like, brother, are you all so? Something that's moving us forward. Allah put us in that situation, we moving forward. We got it, and we ain't stopping. So praise be to Allah. And so, you know, alhamdulillah. As-salamu alaykum.
Thank you, my brother. Thank you very much. Yes, sir.
Alhamdulillah.
Yes, sir. And don't forget, touch your wand, so that way if you want to come back in.
Sorry about that.
Not a problem. Not a problem. Just want to make sure we get you if you come back in.
Yes, assalamu alaikum. Nate Muhammad here. Allow industry, do for self. I'd just like to make a comment on what the imam has addressed or mentioned at the beginning of his talk. It was about people being incarcerated for things they haven't done. One brother I read, he was there 50 years, and the first thing they asked you, are you bitter? And he said, no, I'm not bitter. I said, I know he's bitter. And that's 50 or half of his whole life, a half a century he done sit in a jail for something that he done didn't do. Don't tell me he's not bitter. He might not express it, but I know he's bitter. But I wanted to just mention, how did they do something like that? Now, I know this society is built around a corporate structure, a corporation. His entity is a fictitious person that exists on paper. Now, that brother spent that 50 years, they dressed up or they built the case against him to make it so the jury can convict him. It all exists on paper, whether he's right or wrong. But the key to that is that the corporation moves off of two states. It has how to deal with the people, and then it's the authority. The people come, they all innocent, and they're being straight up and humble. But the authority knows that they're building a case against him to railroad him somewhere. They only do that because they can do it. We're sitting here in Philadelphia in a situation right now with the Bilal Inc., the halal industry, with a building that we was going back and forth with the authority, the same corporation, because every city is incorporated, and they see your information you present to them. Straight up, humble, correct, the truthful. But they sitting back in the background, you don't see them. This is what I mean by the two books or the two standards. And they can rearrange, change an I, uncross a T, and say you're wrong. Now you got to turn around and prove it. That's what they call hidden. They do that with hidden charges. You have to prove them. Now, once you prove them, they make amends, you understand? But then they'll turn around and do the same thing because we're dealing with a corporate world, the people here, We're only a product of our environment. We're a product from this corporate standard. A lot of us sit there and say we dealing with systematic racism. Now, we're dealing with corporate. Corporate, it don't have nothing to do with the people because it's the racism part is petty. They turn the people against each other so you won't pay no attention to them. I said, and we've been saying to the people, no matter how we can deal with things in that manner, we have to unite. We can't deal with it individually because they'd take you around the mulberry bush. We have to unite, and we have to unite with a love name, not unite just to come together and show a numbers and a force. No, we have to show an identity of where we want to go. Because that corporate only can function that can't identify them. Individually, we can't identify them. They can take us back and forth. And then when you talk to them, you got to talk to them through a lawyer. We don't want that. We want to be able to talk to them just like you talking to them and they talking to me. That's how we accomplish things. Through sure, we sit here and we talk and put it on tape. That kind of way is impossible. We can't, all we doing is going through circles again, getting frustrated. And then if you get frustrated and freak out or something, and they label you as a disgruntled person and want to lock you up. And the old timers always used to tell me, if you get mad, you lose. To figure out a way to deal with it, because it's not going anywhere, and we're going to have to deal with it. I said, and my whole conversation in all is unite, especially the African-American, the descendants of slaves. They the main one is being taken advantage of in that manner, only because they can. They can do it. But they fail to realize that, as the man said earlier, that, you know, we done survive everything they threw at us. Or came out with it. He took the licking and still kicking. Then we got to realize is that they can't touch us. They cannot touch us because God is the one who raised us and got us to this point. It is not no individual in the African American to descend as a slave and take that credit. We got to give the credit to God, people that informed us, directed us, prepared us. Yes, they get the credit. But God is the one. How the Christian will say, God is my pilot. God is navigating all this here stuff. That's why we can sit up here and all make all kind of plans to do this and that. But God, he the best of plan. We all fall back on his plan. Once we say, whoa, my plan didn't work or my plan put on hold, God did. He's showing you that I'm in charge of this. You understand? That's why you have to read the signs of creation or read in the name of your Lord. Not only reading the book, the Quran, but read in mankind what happening out in society. Read it. Allah pointing this to our attention, not for you to get mad. The brother there, 50 years in incarcerated. Yeah, I said he would have been pissed off, but he has to read the signs there that Allah is showing you that this is how they do it. You have to learn how they do it, what they did, in order for you to combat it. God ain't going to do it for you. You have to do it. The halal industry, do for self, our model community. We have to do that. God is assisting us, yes, but we the one has to do it. We make all our effort. We get to the point where we done did everything that we can, then here comes the help of Almighty God, Allah. We have to be aware of how we want to go about doing this thing. I've come right back to this corporate approach because I always say we are a product of our environment. If we acting like crazy as hell because the environment conditioned us to do that, they condition it with a fake entity. You go to court, they manufacture a case against you,
knowing they wrong, and the people go to their grave with this guilt or whatever they did. They go because why? It's fake. It only exists on paper. Only a sensitive person that's concerned about the welfare of mankind could sit there and say, yeah, we was wrong. We did this wrong. From people that came forward on a dying bed, mention all this. I'm saying this again, is that look at what we're dealing with out here. When we walk out the door, we're at the mercy of a corporation. Not that it can't work for you, but it can't be the lead structure for you. We have to lead with what Almighty God wants us to do. That checks and neutralizes everything. And all that right we were doing, then we can check all the wrong that's been done. And as long as you can't see me doing wrong, you can't say nothing. Mm-hmm. That was the whole fake slogan. You can't say what you don't know. And you prove that. That's why you have the court of law. You have to prove it. But the law showed us how to go about doing that. He shows us to approach everything with a lowly spirit, humble ourselves, and he manifests everything in front of us. We have to be able to catch it, read it, digest it, and bring it forth. Come on, people. This is our time. There's nobody in our way but ourselves. We have the direction. We have how we want to do it. It's just a matter of doing it. We be at the mercy of all our people, that everybody got an idea, got an approach, got their own thing. Yes, the law made us different, so we can learn from each other. But we have to take all that different and pull it together under one resource, just like the universe do. You don't see the moon and the sun and the moon arguing, ready to kill each other. They submit to each other. They honor. They respect each other. They already do their part. And this is what I'm asking, to come together as one. Sit down and shore. And everybody do their own part. Do the part that is going to help us bring about change for the African-American descendants of slaves. All right, I'd like to just... turn the mic back over to you, man. Bilal, Snake Muhammad, allow industry do for self.
Mm-hmm. Yes, once again, assalamu alaikum. This is Iman Wali Ayu Bilal, the halal industry do for self. And I see a hand up, 636-980. Your mic is open. You can begin speaking. Say what you would like to say.
Yes, this is Kareem Hamid. Calling in from St. Louis. Hey,
assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. And I think that was Brother Nate that
yes,
just spoke. Alhamdulillah.
Yes, it was.
I caught part of what you were sharing. And but the main gist of it is we have to be aware of corporations. It has been deemed in this country that a corporation is a person, and they can contribute utilizing free speech as much to someone's campaign as they want to.
Mm-hmm.
And we know our politicians are consistently in campaign mode, and it takes a lot of money to run for office or either to hold your office.
Mm-hmm.
So the politician is beholden to he who funds the campaign.
I mean,
and corporations are running our political system now. They are. They are running our political system, and they are also at the international level also.
Yes,
we have to educate ourselves We have to be educated. And I don't mean just on a whim because our heart feels like we need this here and all of that. No, we have to be educated well in all the fields of knowledge, all of the law, you name it, systems of government. We have to be well educated in what we are attempting to do. So I'll just stop right there, but the brother is right on point. Corporations are running this thing. Thank you, my brother, for allowing me to speak. I didn't mean to take so long, but it's just so profound what he says. Thank you, my brother. No. Thank you.
Thank you, and no, you didn't take too much time, my brother. We appreciate what you said, and I'm sure those who are also listening, they appreciate what you said. And that's the key of getting the word in. It's not you talk too much. The thing is, say something that means something. And when you do that, the time ain't no problem. You know what I mean? So we appreciate that, brother and man. Also, hit the one on you also. We'll know if you put it up again, we'll bring you back on. So to continue as we're going in the mode that we're going, Allah has shaped humanity to follow his guidance. And today, we, the people here in America that were once upon a time slaves, we are to be models. Nobody want to tell us that we want to be models. You have to know it. One of the things, we all been to school. And then going to school, you don't always get the piece of chalk handed to you in your hand to go to the blackboard and do something. But when you're given it, in most cases, the teachers see that you can put something out will not only help you, but it might help some other students. Right today, we have the chalk in our hand, so to speak. I'm talking about the African-American descendant of slaves. The chalk to be the model.
Mm-hmm.
Not to show off, you know what I mean? Not to do that kind of thing, but to be the model of what humanity should look like. Humanity has to have a heart and a spirit for what Allah calls us to. And when he calls us, he don't call us to stand on the top and say I'm the king. You could be a king now. Don't nobody mix it up thinking I'm saying you can't be a king. If you lived in that kind of country and you became the king, or in this country you became the president, we should applaud that. We need our youngsters to even think about it. Like I began, what's a scholar? What's a sheikh? You know what I mean? Scholars is an individual that basically incorporated it, and I don't want to use it as corporation, but brought into themselves the knowledge from being taught many things. We have that mindset as a people. Many things are in us. We have to tell our young, our sons, our daughters, our nephews and nieces, grandchildren, etc., because some of us are a little too old for it. We have to give them confidence to live in a way to lead, if not the country, lead the city or lead the county or the state that they live in. Be leaders in it. Don't be so a loser when you don't win. Just do better next time. We need people to show people how to do good in the world and to listen also to see when something is harming them. When they see something is harming, leaders are supposed to take those things away from everyone. And where this is going to destroy us, then it's supposed to be taken away. When we look at the thing that's happened abroad, we know, Muslims, we can't say, you know, the Jews are bad, the Christians are bad, and only we. No, Allah said he gave the books to whom he gave it to. When we read about the different people that was given guidance, Abraham, all of them. May Allah be pleased with all of them. These were people who were given assignments. In America today, we have an assignment. And that, the assignment, we can't be mistaken in thinking the assignment in religion particularly is to get everybody to go your way. No, get everybody to go the way God wants us to go. You can be a great Christian or a great Jewish person that practices the Jewish faith. But I'm a Muslim. I have to be a great Muslim, not one that need to be put on a pedestal, but one that models what Allah has given to us through his book that have been proven it could be lived by man. That was the assignment of Muhammad the Prophet, prayers and peace be upon him, one of the assignments, that this book can be lived. Allah says in the Quran to Muhammad the Prophet, prayers and peace be upon him, tell them, he's telling the Prophet to tell them, tell who? Tell mankind. You are just like them. Meaning anybody can carry this message if they choose to do so. So we have it today in the 2024 as of Monday. We have it. That's a major amount of time that passed that messengers and prophets lived and died. A monument of knowledge, of insight that we today can study after just a few hundred years ago. And I know a few, 400 years ain't no, 500 years ain't no few years, but compared to what man, the time man has been on this earth, and the possibility of how much time he will continue to be on it, Allah has given us the ability to be an example. When I look at our work as the Nation of Islam, there's nothing I see in it that I would be ashamed of. Well, y'all used to call a white man the devil. Well, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad explained that to us. It wasn't his skin. It's what he did.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember clearly the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said in the reading before I even heard his voice, but then I heard him say it also, a lie, that it's not just his skin, it's the things that he do. He said it in other ways, but the things that he do. And if, Honorable Elijah Muhammad made it clear, if you were not around him, they'd kill each other. And we saw that in their movement over in Europe and even here. This is what they did. That means we're supposed to hate him. Allah was not telling us to hate him. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad wasn't telling us to hate him. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad was telling us something about the character. And we had to be better than their character.
Yeah.
I remember many times. I tell a Caucasian right in his face, you a stinking devil. Who do you think you're talking to? But when I rode down in Philadelphia, down South Street, around 13th and South, where I grew up in that neighborhood, and I saw a drunk Caucasian, I felt sorry for him. I said, you shouldn't be out here like that, because somebody will take advantage of that. We got, no, you want to square up? Look, let's both be sober and square up with each other, and the best man win. But I'm not for attacking people in their weakness.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do that. You know what I mean? But this man that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was telling us about, he could do it with ease.
Mm-hmm.
He could catch you in your weakness and destroy you and take you down to a lower stage. So they need a model. Muhammad the Prophet, prayers and peace be upon him, was a model. Jesus and many of the others were men of God, no question about it, but they were not the model. They were not made to be the model like Muhammad the Prophet. Prophet Muhammad, you saw the whole life of a man. You saw him as a youngster. You saw him as a teenager. You saw him as a young adult and old adult. You've seen him live, you've seen him die. You've seen him happy, and you saw him in war. You saw him standing for God under all different situations, being tested. And even he had to run to the Christians in Abyssinia when harm was going to come to the few of the believers. Allah guided him And it was just what was being said by the prophet that made the Christian recognize, no. I can't give you these, talking to people of what was then called Becca. I can't give these people to you all. Just what they just said was enough to know that they're men of God. So there's a model. So I'm saying that like I know something you all don't know, the listeners. No, we know this together. But what we have to believe is that Allah has called us to be models today, not just us, but the Muslim world, period. And some of the Muslim worlds have failed. Some of the Muslims have joined in on doing things that shouldn't be done, some because of skin color, some because of where they live, Hamas, whoever they are. If they're Muslims, you didn't live like a Muslim if you went and killed innocent people. Why they won't say that in the East? And why won't the Jewish community say to their brothers and stuff, you killed 20,000 people just to get the few that came to bomb you? When all you had to do is go through the pictures. You had the pictures of everybody. Now, I believe, this is me believing, I believe that there was a traitor. Meaningful or not, there was a traitor among the Jewish community. Because people living in, let's just say right here, Philadelphia, I'm in Philadelphia, and I'm less than crossing the bridge, less than 15 minutes, if there's no traffic, I'm less than 10 minutes away from getting across the bridge to Camden. How Camden know what I got in my neighborhood to secure my house? Unless they put it up. Now, if they didn't put it up, how do they know? So if they came in and knew where all the guns was and knew where all the army was and everything like that, how did they know? Somebody must have been a traitor. Now, that's just my thinking. You know what I mean? I was in a war. I was in the Vietnam War. Didn't plan none of it. But I know there's things you have to watch for. But here's something that was set up to make it look like the Muslims did that. Those Palestinians, they wasn't with that. In other words, this modern day and time, we can send a picture of somebody's face all around the world in seconds. To take the pictures and show these people face and say, these people are wanted, dead or alive. They killed innocent people over here in our land. But instead, they bombed the area. That ain't no way in the world the people could get back to there in the few hours that they start bombing. And they still bombing. Still killing, seeing people, babies, seniors. No, the Muslims have to say religion is religion. Faith is faith. You believe in God, you don't just kill people. This is our time.
Right.
This is our time. And just like some of them, some of us are going to die. But die Muslim. How you going to say that you doing the right thing? You done killed thousands of people in a place where they say it's mostly children and seniors. People that ain't even in the war. You done wiped out their house. You know, you come home and you didn't have an earthquake. You had a man quake. He brought that about. They decided that we're going to just wipe them out. We're going to take their land. And then they're going to play like they ain't in it for the oil. And even if it wasn't for the oil, just devilishment. If it was just devilishment, I want to get back at them. You don't kill everybody. That's not just against God's law. That's against man's law. But it's happening every day, and they won't stop. They won't slow up. I believe that Allah wants us to be. We might say, well, what can we do? Well, the same thing Muhammad the prophet did. Keep the faith, believe, and be an example. We have to be examples. It's our time. And being an example, after we've had an example to know how it's done, shouldn't be a problem. We see that Allah protect Muhammad the prophet.
There were people from among him that died in wars and battles. That can't be what we fear. Not me anyway, because like I said, I've been in a war, ain't had nothing to do with God. It's had something to do with Ho Chi Minh and the say that again.
And rubber.
Yeah, there you go. They, probably was. Money. Well, really money. Yeah, money. That's what was behind that. You know what I mean? But bottom line is, it was a war. But we got to see that there's something that Allah want us, one of us. He don't need none of us. But it's something he want us to do. Something he wanted Prophet Muhammad. He didn't need Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him. But it's something he wanted him to do. Jesus, Abraham, all of Ishmael, you name them. Right on to our time, the modern time, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Imam Muhammad. And others, Christians, Jews, and others who are following in their mind the way of God, maybe by none of the titles we know. This is Allah's creation. And we have to see that we can move it. And I don't want to forget to say that anybody, if you have a question, statement, suggestion, please touch the one on your phone and we'll bring you in. And if I don't see it, we'll pray that someone looking at the board from somewhere else will see it and bring you in for us. So, but you're welcome to make a statement, suggestion, ask a question, the door is open. The halal industry is more than just slaughtering animals.
Mm-hmm.
That gives you a true picture. In other words, if you halal, your word got to be mine. You say this, I've said it before on this program, and when I did the radio program, I say it every now and then. When I first started slaughtering in 95, once we start moving the meat around in different places, the products, there were brothers from overseas that I wouldn't sell to them. I wouldn't sell to them because they were selling pork. That's not halal. How you going to present halal? Got a sign say halal, but you selling people pork who eating pork when God said don't eat pork. I'm a supply the drug. I've been there before. And make myself look like I'm right when I'm doing the wrong thing? No, you can't do that. This job, this work today, particularly in America, is on us. Our unification is what's needed. Our trust of each other is what's needed. Many of us today, because of being on the air and things like that, we haven't seen each other. But there's a trust. And the trust is based on the faith. I trust Christian. There's some people who know, I ain't saying no to Christian. What, you forgot about your family? The majority of my family. I got nice numbers coming up, and that's Muslim. But the majority of my family are Christians, in the South, in the North, on the West Coast, whatever the case may be, around the country. But at the same time, they have to see Islam. They respect it, but they haven't moved yet to see that's where they should be. But that's okay. They have to follow the pattern of serving God if we present that pattern. You can't say you believe in God and you're doing everything God said don't do. So the halal picture is necessary for us. The building of a model community is necessary for us. And as I stated, starting off, our work is just beginning, but we've been working all the time. There are things that we got that fits the description of builders, and I don't mean just home builders, builders of good character. We have to build wealth, but it has to be halal wealth. I've been on the wrong side of the street, and I don't hide it. May Allah have mercy on me. Allah says his mercy stretches. Not using that term, but the way I see it, stretches. is bigger than any error we can make if we're sincerely asking him for his mercy, asking him for his forgiveness. But when we look at this world today, who's going to correct it? Just in character, if not the Muslim. And yes, every entity is Muslim. Every rock, every air, fire, things we see, we can't see, atoms, they're all Muslim. Allah says, I've created everything to submit to my will. I made them Muslim. I made them all Muslim, everything. So if I made it all Muslim, should we be wrestling with the name or the action, the activity of a Muslim? I submit my will, my whole self to Allah. I want to be one that stands before Allah, and Allah says to me, all and any shortcomings, they don't have to say it this way, it's his words. But any and all shortcomings you've had that you walked with, I forgive you. Enter my paradise. And as Imam Muhammad once upon a time have said, and when you get into the paradise, you'll say, this looked like something I had before. Meaning we lived a good life. There's nothing wrong with that. We have to believe we can do it. Our school system, we have to pull together and make it one across the country again. Our ties, we have to ask our imams to work together. Stop trying to be somewhere else. Stop trying to be someone else. You the model and you trying to be something else? That ain't right. No, don't get big-headed and think you can't learn from something else. No, we can do that. I remember hearing the stories. I wasn't there. With one of the presidents here in America, and he wasn't the president yet. He became the president. I think he was in military, if I remember correct. And the king was friend, and they had a few friends. Noriega, I think the name was one. And I heard that they did all kind of mixtures of wrong things. And the president, when he became the president, he had to separate his ties because he didn't want nobody else to tie him to the wrongs that he did. Now, that went on for a while. You and I, we have to be the same. We have to recognize those ugly ties we had, we got to drop those. And part of the ugly tie of the Muslim is not that he's doing a wrong outside, refusing to work together. There's no reason for us, African-American descendants of slaves, not to work together.
Right.
I don't know another people that all of their people or a handful of their people in the group feel like they love us more than they love themselves. No. We'll always be back in the back with most people, regardless what faith they got. Our problem is we'll sometimes put others in front of us. No, the only thing supposed to be in front of you and me or whatever is Allah. Save yourself and your family from the hellfire. Save yourself. And the only thing that can save us from the hellfire is Allah. And sometimes not having feels like hellfire. No, it ain't burning in the same way a fire burns. We can build in this America. Allah gave us this America to build in. What is it that we don't know as a people? Anything that's done by people in America and probably anywhere around the world, we can do it. We need industry. And Allah willing, we're going to have it. And in that industry to build for ourselves, we have to learn the old lesson. Don't just do for yourself. Support self. Struggle to win for the whole family, so to speak. And yes, we can build and help other people, but we have to help ourselves first. You want to get to the point that, no, I'm so strong now, and I can't just help myself. I can help others too. I can help my neighbor. But I have to take care of me and my family first. But we got enough bread that we can invite somebody to the door. Even if you ain't ready to bring them in, they can come to the door and take some home with them. We got to see that's where Allah positioning us for. He's not positioning us to take Islam from someone else. He's positioning us to show others how to live Islam around the world. We built from the bottom. Many have been built since the time of Muhammad the Prophet, prayers and peace be upon him. Hundreds of years, if not the time we spent in slavery, there were Muslims all over the world, living a world, but not being the model, slipping away from being the model. So we have to be the model. Working together as Muslims is a model. Imams seen the ministers under the Honorable Elijah Muhammad have success because of working together. Following the lifeline of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, number one. And like I say, I was fortunate. Before I ever heard the Honorable Elijah Muhammad speak anywhere, before I ever saw him alive, I saw his pictures on the book. I was fortunate that on my first trip to the temple, coming out, I was able to purchase, didn't know that's what they were going to bring out, but was able to purchase Maulana Muhammad Ali Quran, How to Eat to Live, Message to the Black Man. That don't make me no big to-do. But when I left there, I was on my way back to Colorado Springs, Fort Carson, getting prepared to go to Vietnam. And I took those three books, the Bible and the dictionary, to Vietnam. And when I came home after a year of studying, I still didn't know the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I had a picture on one of the books, maybe on both of them, but at least one of them. Yeah, both of them had his picture on the books, if I'm not mistaken. But out of that Quran, I got Allah's God. Muhammad is his messenger. Muhammad is the seal of the message. The Bible, I got some things out of there, too. Don't get me wrong. I got a better understanding of the Bible after reading the Quran. My father fed me the Quran in a way to give me some balance as a child. But once I read the Quran, I seen a lot of things that I can understand from the Bible because of the Quran. So when I see it, I see that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad gave me Allah and his messenger, not Farad. I heard him say about Farad Muhammad, and may Allah bless both of them, all of them, have high seats in paradise, forgive them their shortcomings. But I remember him saying about Farad when he talked about the picture while I was in orientation class, 1969. He said when he returned, he won't look like that. So ain't no need nobody looking at him for God. So he ain't going to look like that. He can't be God. Now, a person could think, well, okay, when he come, he going to look like another man. But I was fortunate. Like I say, I only heard one lecture in the temple before going to Vietnam. And from that point on, I read the Quran and the Bible. I read at least three times in that year, cover to cover. How to Eat to Live, Message of a Black Man, I'd read them four times a month, thin as they was compared to the Bible and the Quran. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad also said, and it wasn't new, when they posed that picture with Farad Muhammad in the background reading, and pull his son to his left side to have the photograph taken. Told him to hold the Quran. This ain't no picture. I mean, the whole thing is a picture. But he was alive, standing there holding the Quran. Now, Elijah Muhammad told the photographer to wait. His son is on the way. He positioned the chair where you could see the picture of Farad Muhammad reading the Quran. Why would God need to read the Quran? Why would God need to read anything? Mm-hmm. And then here's the man standing beside him, the man's son, holding the real Quran. It's not a picture. Reading it. got it in his hand, and he told him to stand right there on his left side. That's a message to us. He's telling us something about the man that came from across the water and taught him. And then he told us about the man, Dr. Diaz, who taught the Imam Muhammad and Akbar. That's right. Thank you, Brother James. Taught them how to read Arabic. And when he questioned him, said, how's my sons doing? He said, Akbar, you would think he lived over there. Meaning Akbar had the flair of speaking it like it was his birth language, that's his native tongue. That's right. Said, but Wallace, he said, Wallace, no meanings.
Mm-hmm.
Wallace, in other words, goes into the depth of what the word is talking about. And we see that from Dust the Industry. When I first heard that, I said, man, that was one of his first key words to me, Dust the Industry. I saw industry, literally. I saw building business. My father and him was already building business in more than one way, so it was easy for me to see that, I believe. It was a nice hint. So all of these things that was done for us is to put us in a position to work together across the country like we once did in the days of the Nation of Islam. Not just flowing money to a headquarters or whatever the case is, but having the kind of ties that we bring the model picture back to our people. People will stop and cursing, stop even acting drunk if they saw a sister coming down the street. That didn't start with nobody else. But now the other people want to walk in and talk about they brought Islam to America. No, you came when Ford was making cars to make money. You didn't bring us nothing. They had no interest in even teaching us back then. It wasn't until we could read and write Arabic ourselves that they even wanted to be among us in large numbers. And still, they stayed distant. We had a majlis meeting, about 20 imams, African-American descent. And we all went to a new masjid that was open, was a warehouse, was a school maybe once upon a time, or a warehouse, Third Jefferson, yeah. And our beloved brothers from overseas, when we sat down, they allowed us to have a meeting there. We was tying with them and letting them tie with us. And the brother who was hosting, he sat down, and while all the imams was coming in, I sat down on one of the front seats near the desk he sat at. And he said, you know, if any of you could speak Arabic, you could do Juma. Now, he talking to the imams of Philadelphia. They just opened up. So I said, wait a minute. Everybody, did y'all hear what he just said? So they still fumbling around, some of the imams sitting down, about 21 of us, 22 of us, something like that. So I got everybody's attention. I said, say it again. And he wouldn't say it. I said, he was fumbling with what he was saying, like as if he didn't say what he said. He couldn't figure out what I was disappointed in. I said, he said, if we can do the Juma in Arabic, we could do Juma. Here you come to America, to Philadelphia, to talk to people, and you're going to tell us we can't do a Juma in your place unless we speak your language. I said, let's get out of here and don't have no more. We don't have no more meetings down here. Now, I wasn't in charge. I was one of the newer imams. But we didn't have no more meetings down there.
They ain't never invited us back down.
They didn't invite, but they was welcome. We welcomed them to be with us. If they wanted to be, they could be a part of it. But we don't need to go nowhere in America. Now, if I go to Camden, I know how to get to the masjid. I know how to get to a few stores. I definitely know how to get across back and forth and get some gas or something like that. But if I really want to know Camden, I'll stop and ask the imam, could him or some of the brothers or some of the sisters help me and my wife get where we got to go, or me and my family if it's a family with me. And you're going to come all the way from overseas and tell me you could talk if I learn your language. You're safe. You haven't. No, your first safety is with Allah. We know that. But Allah made it so Islam was safe in America by coming through us. He did that through the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. He He made it so Islam was seen as not only safe, but it was loved by our people. Just a lot of them didn't want to straighten up. But all of us, I'm sure anybody that can hear this out of your mouth or hear it from this tape, anybody that's listening, I'm sure you can bear witness. All of us watched a drunk come down the street and see one of our sisters falling from side to side, trying to straighten us. He's trying to apologize for being drunk as he passed her in the street. That came from the Nation of Islam. That was the respect built from the Nation of Islam. The living of Islam, the discussion of Islam as a faith in America came from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaching us. Those brothers and sisters that was able to get to the Arabic and teach others, that came from the Nation of Islam. We can't act like we're ashamed of that unity that came from there. Allah gave us the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. We didn't give it to ourselves. Nobody else gave him to us. There is a man born in 1897. Mm-hmm. Third grade education. And right today with all this knowledge that's going on, a third grade education can't get you out of the door. You still got to hold that child's hand. You know what I mean? And you hope it ain't no adult in no third grade. But the bottom line is Allah favored us. And he's still favoring us. We didn't just become slaves because Caucasians wanted to bring us here. Allah made us a slave. Allah allowed us to go through what we went through. We got some brothers and sisters saying they ain't American. They ain't African American. What is you? I'm abolition or not, something. Oh, I'm part of the Indian tribe. I learned as a child. I'm a Negro and glad to be a Negro. I'm a colored person. All those names that we had, the big N, all of them, that's a hand that we were fed. That's right. That's right. Yes, that's right. And now that same hand was the one that brought dignity to America. And all we got to do, Muslims, start teaching our young, if not some of our older brothers and sisters, to be leaders of cities and states and leaders of the country. It's our time. Bring it from the top. We have to see that Islam is ours, but it only works with unity.
Start with.
I leave out here and all of a sudden I want to be me by myself, that'll just be where Allah leave me, by myself. No, we won across this country. Allah put us here to establish Islam. Or else he wouldn't have gave it to us.
Right. That's right.
And we're to be the example across the world that this is how you should live it. Brothers and sisters, you're going to kill somebody because she ain't dressed right. If she got bug naked, find a blanket or something to cover. Something must be wrong with her head. Or if a brother got out there like that, something must be wrong with their head. Somebody might have drugged them or something. But you're going to kill them? After Allah says there's no compulsion in the religion? We can't force no... We can't... If my child don't understand he should pray right now, I ain't got to beat him. I go in and make the example. Let's the rest of us pray. I'll talk to him later. Then sit him down and find out what's wrong, son. I might have did something to him. Dad, you step on my foot when you were standing there, and I had to get out of line. I'm gonna tear his butt up because he don't pray. Something he seen wrong that made him not pray. And that's how we can't follow their ways. We follow the way of the Quran. We establish. We cannot sell pork and say we halal. If we don't know a word of Arabic, it's okay. Allah has not told us ever to learn somebody else's language. The hadith I read back in 1973, and one of the things that stayed in my mind and it still do when I get in it, the prophet took his closest companions, all of them. He said, when you get to a person, to a people, and you don't speak their language, you don't teach them, and you don't lead them. You give them the five pillars and let them teach themselves. He said, you don't change their culture. So, no, we don't need to be out drunk partying, but if we felt like dancing in our house. Ain't that your house? That was part of our culture. Part of our culture is sometimes the same to our wife. You know what I mean? Do everybody got to do it? No, everybody ain't got to do it. But if you did it, why feel out of place? Or somebody from overseas is saying you're out of place? No, the prophet told them, don't change their culture. And culture is not for us just dancing and stuff like that. We have to analyze what is our culture, separate from what was forced on us. Then he told the men, this is Hadith. He told the men, if you are wearing clothes that look like their women's clothes, meaning these people that you can't even speak the language, then wear what the men wear. He didn't tell us to wear thobes. Now, you know, I have worn a thobe to pray in. I definitely wore it in Hajj. But I can't walk up and down the street with it, especially with nothing up under that. You know what I mean?
Can't run.
Can't run either. They had to pull it up. Feel like the woman feel when she had to run from some crazy joker. You know what I mean? So we just have to see. Be ourselves. Look at what we were taught and the way we were taught. We were balanced for America because that's where we're from. I don't want to be African. I have people saying, well, I'm African. I'm an African-American descendant of slaves. I don't want to be an African. I care for them, but I watch on the avenues here that they're living here in Philly. They don't want us coming in their places and coming up the street. They reject us.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking about I can see it from a distance before getting there. They're not welcoming. See, I had businesses. Many times I'm standing outside the door. If I ain't got customers coming, I'm standing out. And I wasn't on no busy highway. But nonetheless, when they come up to say, hey, how y'all doing? You want to stop in? You get your sandwich or some ice cream or, you know, something. I had people that come by and said, can they do some work to get a sandwich? You hungry? Fix them a sandwich. What kind of sandwich you want? You want something to drink with it? Yeah, I take some water. You can take a soda or a milkshake or whatever. Why am I going to blow my blessing? And here go a person hungry needs something. Next thing you know, he's watching the door to make sure nobody disrespect us. Don't drop no trash out front. We got to take care of our own people.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? We have got to know that Islam, for us, is a model that we're to live to show the rest of the world how to live with each other, how to do better. And we got to fit in the minds of some of ours that we need Muslim presidents. It's nice if some of the people from around the world that live here in America are now in high offices. But why ain't we? Why aren't we doing it? And even if it's our Christian brothers, fine. But our people need to be in the makeup of governing in America.
Right.
Confident in our faith, confident in our religion, but governing. And once again, if anybody have anything that they want to ask or say, touch the one on your phone and we'll see you. And if I don't see you, our beloved brother Imam will see us or someone else that's working with the boards also. We're going to take a PSA right now.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Edward Willis, advisor at Graceline Community, asking you to join me in supporting community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge to 910-317-0297. Again, make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or by phone at 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Brother James Bashir, the Halal Industry Do For Self. Join us every Wednesday from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for an edition of the Halal Industry Do For Self with your host, Imam Wale Ayub Bilal, President, Founder, and CEO of Bilal's Inc., and co-hosts James Bashir and Nate Muhammad. The interest of Bilal's Inc. is to establish economics for the African-American people, descendants of the slaves of America. This program is to encourage people to unite and to build economic strength to establish community life by doing for self to build the model community. Connect at am360.org and 24-hour streaming at 701-719-4197. Call in live to speak to the host at 515-605-9891 or 425-292-4253. Share comments at info@cwsc.us. Tweet at CWSHURAA. Email us at info@cwsc.us. Visit am360.org. Pan Corporation Community-Wide Short Conference at cwsc.us. Or leave a listener comment at 910-317-0297.
Yeah, thanks, Brother James. Nate Muhammad again here, the Halal Industry. Duke of Self. You know, we was talking earlier today, especially about the Palestine-Israeli conflict, and someone mentioned that they really want the Israelis really want the land because of oil is underground. So I sat back and I said, well, let me check something out with the Saudis, you know, because I did know that the British was instrumental in helping the Saudis dig for oil on their land back in the turn of the century or 1917, all the way around 33. And come to find out, yes, the British was instrumental in setting up oil fields for them. And matter of fact, they named it Aramco Standard Oil. That was the beginning. Now, Standard Oil is owned right now by the Rockefellers and was part of the British subsidies or whatnot. And that got me thinking that all this is over from oil. All these people sacrificed their lives over oil. All this retaliation and for someone attacking them, that's minor. There's a bigger picture. Now that I sat back, I couldn't help it with the Standard Oil here, even in the United States, all the byproducts is owned by Exxon now, Exxon Mobil. But it used to be Amoco. British Petroleum, all these are subsidies of Standard Oil. And it's nothing that goes on in this society. It's retaliation, for retaliation, nothing. They said, I don't care what they say. Mm-hmm. There's a purpose behind every war, or it was a purpose behind every war. Yeah. You just wasn't warring just because we didn't like you.
In America, you got the military
industrial complex. Yeah, I'm saying all of this is that people, Allah is showing us what's happening, not for us to react, it's for us to learn from it, record it mentally, digest it, so we can establish our own. Because we're going to have to establish our own lifestyle. Mm-hmm. Because we can't continue to live in the midst of this madness.
That's right.
We're going to have to rise above that. We can't continue to live like that. We got to go right now, and you're ducking gunshots and you know, as the imam said, drunks and all the corrupt systems. Can't keep living like that, especially if you know what it is. Mm-hmm. And if you don't know what it is, then you just go on and continue. But once you know what it is, you're going to have to make amends to do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to do a little research. We just can't go by face value or what somebody said, what you heard. You got to go find out something for yourself
mm-hmm.
so you can stand firm against it because you're going to be attacked for it, you know, and you better know what you're talking about.
I mean.
This is why I was saying I know we're going to have to get out of the way in order to establish the halal industry. It's going to be hard trying to establish all that under this mist. But Allah is Akbar. Whatever plan he has for us, that's what we're going to adhere by, or hear by, rather. It's our time now, as the Imam said again. It's our time because we're aware of what's going on around us. And it's going to be after you. Our experience from each other. That's why the Imam said that Allah said that he created us all different so we can learn from each other.
Amen.
We can pool, that's what I meant by pooling our resources. Sit down and put our heads together. Not to argue, fuss and fight. And if we leave with what Allah said, we're gonna come humble. We're gonna sit down humbly.
That's right.
And we can discuss anything. Because this thing is bigger than us individually. Whatever petty differences we have with each other, that's minute. This is greater. The future of what we have to establish is way greater than how we feel, what we didn't like, what you did to me, what you didn't do to me. Yeah, you don't want to hear about that crybaby stuff right now. We got to stand up. Stand up with Allah's name. Not stand up because I feel it, I'm a little rough, tough. No, we're going to stand up with Allah's name. We're going to do what's right and forbid what's wrong. Why? Because we all know the wrong. The Imam just explained earlier about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad calling the white man the devil. He didn't mean it by physically. He meant it by their structure, their lifestyle, how they deal with the people. They're very devilish. And this is what leads us all right back to, okay, we already looked back behind us and seen where we just come from. Now we're looking ahead,
mm-hmm.
you know, as a virgin territory, sitting back waiting on us, the halal way, the halal lifestyle. That is our destination today. And as long as we stay under this present system the way they want, we're going to always stay in a form of captivity and ignorance. As long as we stay under it, we have to rise above it. You can only rise above it through, first of all, faith in Allah. You have to identify with Allah as the Imam called us, God's name.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he meant for. I like that. I said, man, I can relate to that. You know? And Allah created all of us to be in his image, if we want it. He let you choose which way you want to go. You want to do that? You do that. You want to do this? You do this. But if you do that, this is what you're going to have to go through. You will be tested, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So you better weather that storm, poke up, and get you ready for the test.
Mm-hmm.
You come all the way right back to what the society is doing and how they camouflage stuff, cover it up. To do what they want.
Mm-hmm.
And by us, the African-American descendants of slaves, we, if we don't know nothing wrong, or well, no, if we don't know anything, we know what's wrong. When we see something wrong, we know it.
Mm-hmm.
I remember we was on Hodge, and we were sitting back, and we walking around there. I said, look at this, something wrong going on over here. Something ain't right over here. What are all these American companies doing over here in Mecca? I'm in the construction field, and I know about the equipment and all that, and all the major equipment that they have in America is sitting over here in Mecca. I counted about 40 steeple cranes. These are the cranes that be high up the brother called it, they look like Godzilla. But it reached and you know, they pump it up to build up, to go as high as they want. They steeple and they you know, when you're building tall buildings. I'm saying all these companies over here, I know them. What you doing here?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so I said, man, America must be in bed with these guys over here, because you don't come in no foreign country and walk around all that, this work and company. You got a company built in there? No, it's bigger than this. What I'm saying is that this is how society works. This is what we are subjected to deal with every day. And we fall victim to it every time because we refuse.
Mm-hmm.
We refuse to unite. You ain't going to get nothing done unless we unite first. All these ideas and approaches and you have to bring it to the table. Imam Muhammad told us that one of the passing words, that one of them that I really appreciate, he said that we don't need nobody to teach us anymore. All we have to do is lead with what Allah says and do things for sure. I said, boy, that was a big relief to hear that, because we can do this.
Mm-hmm.
We can't go back and forth clashing with each other, because that's going to wear you out.
Mm-hmm.
But we can sit down and iron out any differences. But you first have to lead with what Allah said first.
Mm-hmm.
Everything starts and ends with what Allah, with Allah. So, again, I'm turning the mic back over to the Imam here, Nate Muhammad, the Halal Industry, do for sale.
Much thank you, Brother Nate, Brother James. Once again, assalamu alaikum. This is Imam Wali Ayub Bilal, the Halal Industry, do for sale. And anyone having a question, a statement, a suggestion, please touch the one on your phone. Prayerfully, I'll see it and bring you in. If I don't, then maybe one of the hosts that are handling the board from other angles, they'll see it and bring you in. So you're welcome to touch the one on your phone and join in on what we're speaking on today, the halal industry, or what you think should be said, could be said, you'd like to hear said. You're welcome. And I want to continue as we're speaking. Our picture is not a movie. It can be, but it's not a movie. It's a reality.
Not meant to be a movie.
Yeah, it's a reality.
That's right.
We, you know, when you look down at something that's supposed to be weak or can't do what you do, and you see strength in them, it says something to you. When the world of man look around and see what has happened to the once upon a time a slave, by God's pleasure, because we party well, you know, we did all that well. We, you know, especially those of us who came from the days of Marvin Gaye and Temptations and all of them, we did all that. And believe it or not, that's our culture. That's part of our culture. If you ain't stink with it, if you don't mind me saying it that way, stink with it, then the prophet said, don't remove people from their culture. Now, am I saying, oh, Muslims, let's go out and party? I ain't saying nothing like that. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying we have to look at what's our culture. We have to clean up what's our culture. And the only way you clean up things, the Imam said it a long time, man means mind.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So our mind have to actually control us to see things that we should do and shouldn't do, things that's public and not public. You know what I mean? You know, the prophet, prayers and peace be upon him, took his wife, Aisha, said, let me show you how this, she named him. I don't remember the name in the hadith. I believe it might have been those that were from Abyssinia. He said, let me show you how they enjoy themselves. And as he looked and went out, I saw in my mind, the way I read it, he sat on the back, like out the door, and she leaned across his shoulder. And they were out doing their dance with their music pieces, probably like something that could have been Congo. The best I can remember, it was a long time reading it. And they, you know, it wasn't that they were singing like Marvin Gaye, but they were entertaining themselves. And the prophet watched until they were finished. And, you know, we have gotten people to make us, even when we were in the church, to think we're supposed to be all rigid and can't move and, you know what I mean? And of course, over time, you know what I mean, I can't think of that Christian group, the family, that sang well. Staple Singers, there you go. Yeah, the Staple Singers, others did it too, but I think they kept it decent and alive. You know what I mean? Where you can be in the spirit. Now, we're not going to do that in the masjid. You know what I mean? But my point is that we have to be alive. We have to be alive in order to make people that are living see the right way. And that ain't directed at dancing. That's directed at us building together, working together, establishing together, calling on each other to have a halal life. My life is not halal if I'm doing all the wrong things.
Mm.
Like I said, there was a time that I felt I needed to do something. I left the masjid. And long as I felt I was needing to do what I was doing, I would not go to the masjid. And one brother particularly, he would ask me almost every time he see me, you ain't at the mouth. I said, I can't go what I'm doing. He said, well, do you pray? I said, yeah, I pray. He said, you ask for forgiveness? I said, no. I ask for mercy. I ask for his mercy. I said, I can't ask for forgiveness when I know tomorrow I'm going to do the same thing. You know what I mean? In other words, no matter what it is, if you know it ain't right, you can't do that. And that's the way we should see it. You know what I mean? We still got at least 10 minutes, so if there's anyone that has a question, has a statement, feel free to touch it on your phone, the one on your phone, and we'll bring you in. You know what I mean? We'll talk all the way to the end. We don't have a problem with that either. But if you have something, then we'd like to include you. You know what I mean? So we're asking our brothers and our sisters to call on to your imam. Do you know, let's look at the figure picture, excuse me. Muhammad the prophet, prayers and peace be upon him, while he was getting revelations through the angel Jibril, Allah told him to tell Muhammad to look into the creation. And any of us, look into the creation. We can't see but so far, so we know he didn't see but so far. But you can see the creation. Then he said, look and tell him to look into himself. Now, to me, I read this in 1973. Never forget it. Before I go on with the story, I'm going to bring you on. I see a hand, 727-408. Your mic is on. You can introduce yourself and begin with your question, statement, or suggestion.
As-salamu alaykum. This is Bilal, Muslim, Florida. Alhamdulillah,
yes,
praise be to Allah. Allahu Akbar.
Yes, sir.
Alhamdulillah.
Yes, please.
We should be thankful. Alhamdulillah. We should be thankful for our Creator, who had brought many of the righteous together. We are blessed to be able to start all over again as a people, having revelation that keep us responsible. The great majority of us were put in bad circumstances and made slaves in America. Now America is benefiting from our intelligentsia, knowing our potential, acting and thinking rational. Most of our retorts are made not as subjects, but as free thinkers, utilizing revelation, helping others as truth bringers. A bad experience for a future good. Hopefully we aren't being misunderstood. Look at the beautiful poor people that came out of the poverty of land and the intellect. It is God's will and plan that we be the best. Of mercy to the world, helping it pass its test. God had changed our state into a beautiful one. It's a lot of good work we have done. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum salam. Thank you very much for that. We appreciate it. No question. Yes, sir. And we have to put our spirit into our young. Don't forget to touch the one just in case you want to get back on again. I'll see it's new, you know. And all of us, we have, what is it that we don't have among ourselves? There's nothing in the world that people do we can't do as a people. And in America, as I've been saying for many years, America is one of the best places in the world to establish, because America has the largest microphone that can reach people all over the world. Do you know what it would be like to have our voice telling others, especially religious people, don't kill innocent people? In other words, I think Biden wanted to do the right thing, but his right was more white,
mm-hmm.
even if it was accidental. That's right, R, and white, W.
He's systematic.
So he, you know, in other words, if it's him running against Trump, I'm voting for him either way. No question. I can't vote for a liar, not because of a mistake. You know what the mistake that is with us? We're not bringing nobody from the floor to the top.
Right.
We should be putting somebody there. And we had a few brothers when Iman was living. We had a few brothers. One brother got sworn in with Thomas Jefferson's Quran, from what I understood, out of the library there in Washington. So, you know, there's so much that we can add as a plus. But if we think we're not supposed to be in lead, how do you lead? We have to do the same thing. We have to do that. Okay, I see the hand of 518-779. Would you like to say? The mic is open for you. 518-779. I see your hand up. Maybe you touched the one by mistake and didn't mean to do it, but you're welcome to make a comment, ask a question, give your suggestion if you like. The mic is open for you. You can come on and introduce yourself. Where are you from? I'll say the number one more time, 518-779. Your mic is open. Oh, you just turned it off. Okay. Not a problem. You know what I mean? Well, now you're back on. The mic is open for you if you want to say something. Otherwise, I'll continue where I was going. This America, in these 2023 and beyond, 24 next week,
mm-hmm.
we should be seeing a big change in America with what Allah blessed us with. Our young should see the seriousness of being put out front to lead. You know, Bilal was told to go to the top of the building and call the people to prayer. Ever since I read that, I love Bilal, no question. But it was Imam Muhammad put him in the article.
Yeah.
And when I read it, I said, that's the name I want. I don't want no other name. And I never wanted a name but Bilal. When I heard his story, what he went through, I said, that's me. And I don't mean I'm the person to call the Adhan or anything like that. When he told Abu Bakr, I believe it was, are you freeing me for you
yeah,
or for me
that.
To serve Allah?
That's right.
518-779, you still have your hand up. It looked like you have a question or statement. You're welcome to come in if you like to say something. Otherwise, I'll keep talking over you. The mic is open. 518-779. Okay, I'll talk until you interrupt me. So we have an opportunity to help set the world straight. Help set the world straight. And that's what we got to learn. Why did Allah give this creation to man to care for? No, we don't do everything for it, but he allowed us to be able to rise to the top and lead the world into what's right. And I really believe that's our work today. So I'm going to turn the mic over to our brother and let him continue to close us out. We thank you. We pray to Allah that we can get you with us next Wednesday, 5 to 7. We appreciate your time, bring your questions, your statements, your suggestions. Brother James, you close us out.
Yes, join us daily. Skip, join us every Wednesday from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for an edition of the Halal Industry Do For Self with your host, Imam Wale of You, Bilal, President, Founder, and CEO of Bilal's Inc., and co-host James Bashir and Nate Muhammad. The interest of Bilal's Inc. is to establish economics for the African-American people, descendants of the slaves of America. This program is to encourage people to unite and to build economic strength, to establish community life by doing for self, to build the model community. I'd like to thank everyone for joining in to the program this evening. And inshallah, we'll talk next Wednesday from 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.